How geography can affect the climb up the development ladder. Geography helps shape economic development for clear and understandable reasons. Consider a subsistence economy. If the soils are poor, the rains erratic, and the crop varieties very different from those in rich countries, for which advanced technologies are available, then the economy may well remain stuck in extreme poverty. Farmers will not grow enough food to make ends meet, and there will be little surplus available for private saving or for taxation to support public investments. If the country is in the tropics, the advanced technologies that are available from rich temperate zone countries of Europe, the United States, and Japan are likely to require extensive and costly adaptation to local conditions, with few scientific institutions, if any, to bring that adaptation about. The problem will be compounded if the country is landlocked or far from seaports. Overland transport might be long and hazardous, with traders having to brave congested, poorly maintained, and unpoliced roads. The port itself may be far from the main global sea routes, so sea-based cargoes must be trans-shipped, at high expense, from regional trading centers like Hong Kong, Singapore, and Dubai. Such geographic obstacles are not insurmountable. Roads can be built, treaties can be negotiated between inland and coastal countries, agricultural conditions can improve with research and development. Geography is not destiny. But geography shapes economic costs and the investment needed to move from one rung of the economic ladder to the next. Five key aspects of geography help to shape a region's economic success or failure. Agricultural productivity. Crop productivity depends on many ecological factors: soils, water availability, topography, pests and pathogens, and local crop varieties. Some parts of the world are favored with deep and nutrient-rich soils, ample water availability, both rainfall and river-based irrigation, plains rather than steep slopes, and long growing seasons. Other farm regions are burdened by poor soils, droughts, limited access to irrigation, steep mountain slopes, or short growing seasons. One of the basic differences between Asia and sub-Saharan Africa, for example, is that most African smallholder farms are located in drought-prone regions without access to river-based irrigation, whereas Asia's river-based irrigation is extensive. Roughly 39% of South Asia's farmland is irrigated, and 48% of China's, compared with just 4% in sub-Saharan Africa. Energy and minerals. Any process that creates order out of disorder, including economic development, requires energy. For most of human history, this energy came in the form of food to sustain human physical activity and animal power. To a modest extent, wind and water power were also harnessed. The single greatest trick of the modern era has been to tap new stores of energy, starting with coal and expanding to other fossil fuels, oil and gas, nuclear power, and increasingly efficient ways to convert wind, water, and solar radiation into electricity. It stands to reason that places well endowed with primary energy resources have an economic advantage over energy-scarce economies, and this has been generally the case. In the 19th century, local availability of coal was virtually a sine qua non of industrialization. In the 20th century, availability of hydrocarbons was generally a great advantage. There are a host of qualifiers to this rule, however. First, the usefulness of a particular energy resource depends on the technology that is available. Coal made only a modest difference before the invention of the steam engine. Most water power could not be usefully tapped before the invention of the electrodynamo, by which falling water could be converted into electricity. Oil became valuable with the invention of the internal combustion engine. Perhaps in the 21st century, sunshine will become the resource of choice as solar power is more effectively harnessed. Second, most energy resources are tradable, so even countries lacking in key energy resources can import their energy needs as long as they earn foreign exchange through exports. For this reason, availability of energy is a help, but not a necessity. Third, energy resources, like any kind of wealth, can be squandered. Plentiful reserves of oil have fueled wars, coups, and mega-greed, a pattern commonly known as the resource curse. While it's fair to say that countries with energy resources have outperformed those without, It's also fair to say that many, if not most, energy-rich countries have underperformed their potential as a result of mismanagement of the energy resources. A few other valuable minerals have an economic effect similar to energy resources. Countries rich in copper, diamonds, gold, platinum, and valued mineral stocks have a ready source of export earnings they can convert into energy imports or other needs. But like oil, valuable mineral deposits are easily squandered and are often the source of crippling political intrigue and violence. Diamonds have helped to finance successful economic development in Botswana and Namibia in southern Africa, but they have also helped to incite and finance wars in West African countries, such as Sierra Leone.